Your Seattle debut?
I laugh. I was going to pick the one that looked the best and return the other one. But then I didn't have to pick either, and I forgot to return both.
I grab the box from under my bed and hand it to her. She first pulls out a super bodycon black romper with a strappy back. I don't know how I ever thought my dad would let me out of the house wearing it, so good thing it became a moot point. Next, she holds up a sweet ivory lace dress. It's still short and sexy, but in a much more ladylike and classy way. Morgan tosses me the sweet outfit. If you're so desperate to hold on to your virginity, I'd go with this one.
Truth? It's a great choice for what I have planned, which is making Charlie Reed fall madly in love with me.
I head into the bathroom, stripping off my usual leggings and t-shirt combo. I shimmy into the dress and zip it up. I check myself out in the mirror, hoping I've somehow turned into a ravishing supermodel. Nope. I look pretty much the same as always, only with a beautiful outfit on. Awkward. I step out to show Morgan, wincing. I feel so stupid, like I'm a little kid who raided my mommy's closet. Morgan cocks her head and gives me a long stare. It's absolutely perfect.
How can you say that? I protest. It's just plain old me with fancy wrapping on.
Psh! Finding the right outfit is just the first part of getting ready, she says. We still have to do your hair and makeup. By the time I'm finished, you won't even recognize yourself. It's funny, because, like I said, Morgan is the consummate tomboy tough girl in the way she dresses and acts. But who knew she had such a handle on contouring and winged eyeliner and BB cream and lip kits and whatever?
I do a lot of late-night online shopping. Can't imagine I'm the only one.
She applies it all to my face like she's a professional makeup artist. One minute, I look like some weird zoo animal with different colored stripes on my cheeks and forehead. The next, everything's blended and I look insanely natural, but also so much more polished than when I roll out of bed in the morning. I stare some more at the expert makeup job. It's truly impressive.
I don't get how you did that.
Morgan bounds down the stairs first, with me following close on her heels this time. My father is standing in the foyer staring up at us. His mouth falls open.
I hope that means you look pretty, not march back up to your room and scrub that makeup off, young lady.
May I present Catherine Price of Washington? Morgan announces like we're making our society debut at some fancy ball. My dad still says nothing.
Does this look silly? I ask. 'Cause I can go change.
My dad clears his throat.
You look amazing, Peanut.
He finally says, a little catch in his voice.
You're a beauty, just like your mom.
I smile. It's the exact right thing to say to me. The exact thing I needed to hear in this moment. He watches us as we run out of the house. I turn back around and give him a huge smile. I'm gonna be fine. I truly know it. From the look on his face, I think even my dad believes it this time. I grab Morgan's hand and hustle us out of sight before he can change his mind. Chapter 8. Garver's house isn't far from mine. Even walking slowly, plotting out with Morgan how I should play things with Charlie tonight, we get there in 10 minutes. The old Victorian has a wraparound front porch complete with a swing that looks perfect for soaking up sunny days while watching the world go by. I'd love to enjoy that kind of simple pleasure. It makes me kind of mad to think that people who can often don't. Garver appears at the door without us even having to knock.
He's of average height and weight, and has longish dark curly hair, a cute little boy face, and zero zits. There's no major geekiness to him that I can detect, other than maybe his Why Am I Here t-shirt. He's certainly not anywhere near as dorky as Morgan always claims. Garver's eyes light up when he sees her.
You came, he yelps.
Don't sound so excited, she says, or I might change my mind. I press my foot down on top of her toes.
Be nice.
She wriggles her shoe out from under mine without acknowledging my silent message.
Any chance you or your hot friend knows how to get beer out of a keg?
Morgan pushes past Garver, dragging me behind her. She stops short in the kitchen. Two of Garver's friends, one with a bowl cut and wearing a bow tie, the other with Mr. Spock eyebrows and mustard-colored flood pants, are trying to pry the thing open with a dinner knife. Morgan stares at Garver incredulously.
You didn't get a tap?
He shrugs, palms up.
I didn't know they were separate things. Why would they sell me a barrel of beer I couldn't access?
Morgan spins around the kitchen, then peeks into the living room. Her face falls and she mouths, sorry, at me. She's horrified, and she's not even trying to hide it.
Garver, what the hell? This really is a tame, safe, parent-friendly party.
Garver points over to the kitchen table. On it are a few gallons of ice cream, a can of whipped cream, some sprinkles, and a squirt bottle of magic shell.
Do tame parties have Sunday bars?
Morgan smacks him. I watch his friends, who, from the looks of them, probably are going to be actual rocket scientists someday, have zero luck liberating the beer from the barrel. Like, they'll probably figure out how to populate Mars, but they cannot get beer out of a keg. The thought makes me laugh out loud.
This is so cool, I whoop.
Don't listen to her, Morgan tells Garver as she grabs my arm and starts dragging me away. She's never been to a party before, so she doesn't realize how dire this situation is. We're out of here. Garver runs ahead of us and cuts Morgan off before she can get out the front door.
You're leaving? But I made a huge thing of chili.
Morgan rolls her eyes at him.
Chili is not a party food.
There's a knock at the door. Relief is written all over Garver's face.
You see? Party's just kicking off.
He checks out who it is through the peephole.
Wait. Whoa. What is Charlie Reed doing here?
Before I can say I invited him, Garver throws the door open. He welcomes Charlie, pats him on the back like an old pal, and ushers him inside. Charlie looks right past him, and our eyes meet.
Whoosh!
We're totally locked into each other. Nothing else seems to matter. Everyone else ceases to exist.
Wow, he whispers. Hi.
Something about the look on his face makes me think Morgan deserves a huge tip for my makeover. She's nudging me with an elbow and grinning at us, grinning at each other. I know what she means. It's hard to miss how much we're vibing.
Hi,
I say back. Staring at Charlie is like staring right into the sun, and we all know how dangerous that would be for me. So I have to pry myself away. I glance into the kitchen where Mr. Spock Eyebrows has decided it's a great idea to bring a rolling pin down on the keg. Of course, it bounces off the barrel. That thing must be made of, like, titanium, and hits him right in the face. And still, there is no beer. Bruises, probably, but no beer. I'm momentarily grateful this isn't some huge rager, where I'd also have to contend with talking to people who actually know how to tap a keg. and don't serve sundaes and chili as party food. Safe, tame, and parent-friendly is about all I can handle at this particular moment. Next, the guys get a mallet and some sort of spike and a roll of duct tape. They line up the random items on the counter like surgical instruments. I sigh. It's going to be a while. Maybe we should go sit on the porch while these guys figure that thing out, I suggest. Charlie follows me outside and sits down next to me on the swinging bench, and we float gently back and forth. I'm staring up at the sky. He's staring at me.
You look amazing, he says.
It's all Morgan, I tell him with a wave of my hand, trying to shoo away the compliment and all the embarrassing blushing that accompanies it. He shakes his head.
Nope.
I'm about to protest again when Garver bursts onto the porch. He's holding two bowls of chili. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I also don't want to have chili breath around Charlie.
For you, good sir,
Garver says, handing one to each of us.
And for you, mademoiselle?
Oh, thank you so much, but I can't. I'm allergic, I tell him.
I'm allergic to your dead cat, but that doesn't stop me from hanging out with you, right?
Try it. You'll like it, Charlie says with a wink. He takes a bite, swallows, and gives Garver a thumbs up.
Top shelf, buddy.
Garver tries again to hand off the bowl to me, but I put my hands up. No, thanks, really.
You sure?
He asks. I nod. So he starts chowing it down instead. Charlie makes a face, leans over, and whispers,
Wise decision. It tastes like ass.
I'm still giggling at Charlie's assessment when Morgan walks outside. Garver stops mid-gobble to stare at her. A blob of beef teeters precariously on his chin.
I really thought we'd have a bigger turnout, Garver comments. But more beer and chili for us, right?
One of Garver's friends sticks his head out of the front door and says, I told you not to go up against the cheerleader. What cheerleader? Morgan asks.
The mean blonde one with the big Cadillac, Garver says through a mouthful of food.
Zoe Carmichael? Morgan yelps.
Thank God we're here and not there, I think.
Yeah, Zoe, Garver nods. She's also having a party. Must have dinged our turnout.
Should we just go there? Charlie suggests.
Adrenaline shoots through my body. There's no chance I'm going to Zoe's party. But there's also no chance I'm not going, if that's where Charlie's headed. What a conundrum. Garver's shoulders slump. Anyone can see how important it is for him to impress Morgan, which he's not, but at least he's trying. If we all leave, it's not even a possibility anymore.
Whoa, you're gonna bail on me, brah? Nobody's bailing. I just thought we could move this whole scene over to her house.
Charlie looks over at me to gauge my reaction. I avoid his stare and look at Morgan. Like, what am I supposed to do now? She looks at me and shakes her head. I look back at Charlie and shake mine. You know how I told you my dad is super strict? Well, I can't go anywhere but where I said I'd be, or I'll be grounded for the entire summer.
Couldn't you just, like, text him and say your plans changed?
Charlie asks. I shrug. That's not how it works with my dad. Like I told you, he's pretty overprotective.
Let me drive you home and we can explain it to him together, he offers.
More emphatic head shaking from me. My dad doesn't even know Charlie exists. The last thing I want to do is have to explain who he is, how we met, and that now we want to hit a rager together.
Okay, then. Staying here it is, Charlie says.
and he doesn't even seem mad about it. After a half an hour, the keg is still untapped, and the chili's been eaten, and we've all demolished sundaes from Garver's elaborate sundae bar. Charlie and I are left staring at each other, the conversation petering down to nothing. I am desperate not to let my first real date with him be my last one. And if this night gets any sleepier, I'm pretty sure that's a distinct possibility.
"Let's just go," I suddenly blurt out. "To the other party. What my dad doesn't know won't hurt him."
Morgan gives me a look like, "Have you completely lost your mind?" I wince. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
"Okay, cool," she says, giving me the hairy eyeball. "Let me just get my passport because Zoe Carmichael is Satan, and her home is most likely the portal to hell."
Garver lets out a laugh.
"Shut up, Garver, that wasn't even a good joke," she says, trying to act like she doesn't love that he totally appreciates her humor. "And Katie, you do realize we're talking about Zoe Carmichael here. You know, the girl who basically ruined..." I cut her off before she can say "your life" or utter the words "vampire girl."
"I'm sure it'll be fine," I say quickly.
"Zoe's harmless," Charlie assures us both. "She's like a gnat with a really expensive car."
Morgan grabs my arm and pulls me up off the swing. "We'll be back in a second, guys," she says, and drags me into the house. I follow, glancing over my shoulder at Charlie as we walk away. He has a totally confused look on his face. I shrug like, I don't know either.
"You do not have to go to Zoe's just because you think that's what Charlie wants to do," she says when we get inside.
"I know that." I stare down at my feet and shuffle them around a bit. "I kind of just want to see what an actual high school party is like. No offense to Garver, he's nice, the ice cream was good. But even I think it's kind of lame here. This party is only slightly more exciting than watching Netflix with my dad."
Morgan grabs my chin and pierces me with an intense stare.
"You're sure?" I nod, gripping her hands in mine and taking a deep breath. "I'm sure. Dear Gabby inspired me. I can't let XP hold me back anymore."
Morgan sighs and sticks her hands on her hips.
"You are so full of shit."
"I'm not going if you don't go," I add.
"You suck, Katie," she says.
"I'm not trying to," I tell her. "I can't help it. I found out I like being normal. Sorry."
Morgan gives me an exasperated look and walks out onto the porch. I follow her back there.
"So?" Charlie asks when he sees us.
"Still undecided," Morgan says. "I mean, Garver put out such a nice spread."
Garver hops to his feet.
Charlie and I discussed it, and we think it is in all of our best interest to move this thing to another venue."
"You don't have to put on a front, Garver," Morgan tells him. "If you'd rather we stay here, we're all down, seriously."
Garver shakes his head.
"No, honestly, let's roll."
Morgan still looks unconvinced. Charlie starts chanting, "Morgan, Morgan, Morgan." Garver and I pick it up a beat later, so now we're in a chorus of encouragement. "Morgan, Morgan, Morgan."
"Fine," she finally concedes. "But don't come crying to me when Zoe condemns you all to an existence of eternal fire and brimstone."
We all cheer. I throw my arms around her. "You're the best friend anyone could ever ask for," I whisper in her ear.
"I honestly hope you don't live to regret this," she whispers back. "But just know, I'll be there, even if you do, to throw down with anyone who dares to mess with you, and also to tell you I told you so." It's such a classic Morgan thing to say. I pull back and grin at her.
Got it.
Garver whistles and yells to his friends.
Let's go, boys! We're mobilizing!
Before I have any more time to reconsider my impulsive decision, we pull up to a huge waterfront mansion. There's a shiny white Escalade parked in the driveway. Its license plate reads "Too Lit for You."
It's gotta be Zoe's. Clearly, she hasn't changed a bit.
I'm really starting to have second thoughts, but it's too late to turn back now. Charlie easily lifts the keg out of Garver's friend's trunk and places it on the ground. The guys stare at him like he's Superman, since it took all three of them to get it in the trunk, and they start rolling it awkwardly toward the impressive home, which is buzzing with loud music and even louder people. The closer we get to the front door, the slower they roll, until everything's at a total standstill. Garver clears his throat nervously.
This may not be a good idea, he says. We've never even talked to Zoe.
I have, Morgan says, and you're not missing anything except a brush with evil.
Relax, guys, Garver's friend with the bowl cut and bow tie says. I talked to Zoe just last week.
Do you mean when she almost hit you with her SUV and called you a douchebag? Garver asks, his mouth hanging open like he even can't believe how clueless his friend is.
That's not an actual conversation.
Yes, it is,
Bullcut and Bowtie protests.
I said sorry to her. It was a back and forth. We were talking.
It'll be fine, Charlie assures them. Let's do it.
His hand reaches for mine. I take it, and we start heading up the stairs to the front door. We all stand on the porch as Charlie takes the heavy brass door knocker with a giant lion's head carved into it and gives the door a few loud raps. With my hand in Charlie's, I feel safe and cared for, like nothing bad can happen. Even if we were actually approaching the gates of hell, I think I'd go there with him.
Chapter 9. When Zoe appears at the door, memories of all the times she gave me crap hit me hard, and I have to bite my lip to keep from gasping out loud. She looks just like I remember, only, of course, age progressed and even more beautiful. Her eyes scan past me like I don't exist, lighting up when she sees Charlie. An odd pang of jealousy hits me, which is dumb, because it's not like I have any claim on him. This is our first date. For all I know, it could also be our last.
I was wondering where you were, she exclaims in a sweet voice that's probably not the one she uses on a regular basis. She's clinging to Charlie's arm like they're on the Titanic and it's sinking.
Hey,
he replies, carefully removing his arm from hers.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. We were pre-gaming at Garver's.
Zoe wrinkles her nose as she assesses who Charlie just admitted to hanging out with, rather than her. Me? Some chick she most likely thinks she's never seen in her life. Morgan, who glares back at her, ready to rip her eyeballs out if she makes the slightest rude comment. And three boys she'd never give a second look.
Sorry, who are these people?
My friends, Charlie says with a shrug.
Zoe hovers in the doorway, her face registering something close to disgust. She looks like she's ready to slam the door shut in our faces when Charlie adds,
We brought a keg.
Garver goes to lift it up as proof. It barely moves. Then he and his friends try together and finally get the thing as far as waist high. Zoe scowls, but finally steps aside to let us in. I exhale a long, slow breath. Crisis averted, at least for now. She seems to have zero idea I'm actually the vampire girl she tortured all those years ago. Garver and his buddies somehow manage to get the keg into the kitchen, and I hear a loud cheer. The Geek Brigade are now beer heroes, welcome to stay as long as they can keep the party going. I follow Charlie into the living room. Kids are packed into every corner, drinking from red plastic cups, laughing, flirting, screaming to one another over the music, spilling drinks all over what I'm sure are expensive couches and carpets. It's like a scene from one of those John Hughes movies from the 80s that I've watched over and over with my dad. For once, I'm actually doing what everyone else my age is doing. It's awesomely cheesy and cliche and wonderful. Charlie is high-fiving people as we make our way into the thick of things. Everyone seems to know and love him. And if they're wondering who the mystery girl is trailing behind, no one says anything about it. Excitement fades into anxiety once we're in the middle of the party. My thoughts start to race. I am so clueless about how I am supposed to navigate these people and their inevitable questions about where I've been hiding all these years. Charlie seems to sense how uncomfortable I suddenly am and puts a gentle hand on the small of my back. I relax, and my brain stops its crazy whirring. Morgan, who misses absolutely nothing ever, sees what's happening. "I'm gonna go do a lap or something, away from you two," she says. Then she leans in, gives me a hug, and whispers in my ear, "I'm proud of you for being so brave. It took gigantic cojones to come to this party. And to reiterate what I told you yesterday, he really likes you. But just remember, if you need anything, flicker the lights and I'll burn this place down." Morgan walks away, grabbing a red cup from a random guy and taking a swig as she goes. I wonder if there's any other option than beer here, which just the smell of makes me gag, and if I should push my luck by having some. The one and only time I drank before was at Morgan's house. Her parents went out, and we decided to do shots of creme de menthe, which is this weird mint-flavored liqueur. I ended up barfing, and I haven't been able to eat her mother's formerly awesome grasshopper pie since then. Apparently, creme de menthe is the secret ingredient that makes it taste so good. Make that used to taste so good. I stare up at Charlie. He stares back at me. We walk toward a table set up as a bar. Shyness washes over me like a tsunami. "Morgan's hilarious," Charlie's saying over his shoulder. "How long have you guys been friends?" "God, for as long as I can remember," I reply. "I mean, that's not true. I remember some things from before, like fuzzy memories of being a toddler and eating an entire pad of paper while telling my doll it was a very, very bad thing to do. Ended up in the ER for that one. Also, the time I was zoning out to the Powerpuff Girls while my mom was cooking dinner for me, and I got a high-heeled Barbie doll shoe stuck up my nose. That was my second ER trip. And I'm babbling again. Sorry, I babble when I'm nervous."
"So I've noticed." Charlie grins and hands me something pink and fruity-looking in a cup.
I take a sip. It tastes a jillion times better than creme de menthe.
"Why are you nervous?"
I give him the simplified version.
"I don't know anyone." "Well, I know all these idiots, and you have nothing to be nervous about," he tells me.
"Come on now," I say. "You can't know everyone." Charlie looks around the room before pointing discreetly at a loud, tall, red-faced boy doing shots.
"See that guy?"
I nod.
"He pretends he's a dumb jock, but he's in, like, every AP class. He's going to Yale, but he wants everyone to think he's a moron."
"Yale? He wants people to think he's not going there?"
"That is moronic," I say.
I mean, it's Ivy League, the best of the best. I'd be wearing the sweatshirt to school every day. I'd love to go there.
You should then, Charlie says.
How could they pass up the valedictorian of your strict solo homeschool?
I lean into him slightly. I love how warm but unyielding he feels. Soft yet strong. It's a nice combination.
It's complicated, I begin, thinking for all of a millisecond about telling him how college is not even a possibility because of my XP. I'm considering making a joke of it, saying maybe I could go to night school. But then something tells me not to ruin what is turning out to be a great night. There's enough time for reality later. I nod over at a girl in a super tight, low-cut dress.
What about her?
Wore headgear to school until 10th grade. Clearly trying to make up for lost time, he says. Then motions to a short, acne-ridden boy.
Beat his pants on the 6th grade field trip. And that girl over there? She has a prescription drug problem.
Now see that dude? He has the longest fingers I've ever seen. He's also, like, one of the top 10 cellists in the state. He's cool.
Charlie's saying this stuff like it's no big deal, but the whole time I'm thinking two things. One, I have missed out on so much. And two, people never really outlive their pasts. There will always and forever be the shorthand headgear girl and wet pants boy, and kids who graduated in this class will know immediately who that is. Even at their 50th reunion. I decide to indefinitely postpone the conversation that will out me as vampire girl. A guy jumps on Charlie's back out of nowhere. Charlie is startled and stiffens up like he's ready to throw down. Then a look of recognition crosses his face, and he smiles instead.
He's back, the guy whoops. Charlie's back! Why didn't you pregame with us? We had...
Charlie's friend notices me standing there and stops talking. Another guy comes toward us, trying to carry way too many drinks in way too few hands.
Whoa, who's this? The first guy says.
Owen? Wes, meet Katie, Charlie says,
gesturing to each boy as he makes the introductions so I can tell them apart. Wes kisses my hand with wet, beery lips.
Katie, you're a magician. Teach us your ways, he says, giving me a deep bow.
I look at Charlie, then back at Wes. What do you mean?
It means you got this guy to come to a party and make a smile like feature? Our boy hasn't looked this good in a long time, Owen says, throwing an arm around Charlie.
We all start chatting and laughing like old pals, and it doesn't feel awkward in the least. But my newfound social comfort flies away when Zoe saunters over. Of course, she immediately starts hanging all over Charlie.
I'm so thirsty, she coos, staring up and batting her fake feather eyelashes at him.
I seriously don't understand how she doesn't just fly away. Get me a drink? Charlie extracts himself from her grip and moves closer to me.
I can't right now. I've got to give Katie the party tour.
Zoe plants herself in front of us so we can't move. Katie, she says, eyeing me suspiciously. How come I've never seen you around before?
I start to say, but Charlie jumps in before I can even begin to formulate some sort of lie.
She's in the witness protection program, he says with an easygoing charm. If she told you that, she'd have to kill you.
Zoe gives him a little fake laugh, but she's still eyeing me. On second thought, you actually do look familiar, she says. Have we met somewhere before? I shake my head.
Don't think so.
She steps aside, her lips pressed together. It'll come to me. Don't you worry,
she says. Zoe glares at us as Charlie holds his hand out to me. I take it. I hope he can't feel how shaky the encounter with Zoe has left me.
Ready?
He asks. I follow behind him, leaving Zoe standing all alone and angry. I glance back at her over my shoulder as we head up the grand staircase, and she's still glowering at me like she wishes I'd self-combust. I'm sure she'd probably be thrilled to know it's an actual possibility in my case. Chapter 10. And this, Charlie says, flipping the lights on in yet another room. This one is stacked floor to ceiling with antique-looking hardbound books. Is the library. Ooh. I stare around with an undisguised envy. I would literally live in here if this was my house. Charlie laughs.
I bet Zoe's never set foot in here, especially not to read.
His seemingly vast knowledge of her likes and dislikes, not to mention the floor plan of her house, unsettles me. My stomach churns with worry and fear. I wonder what kind of relationship Charlie and Zoe had, or have, and how he could ever like a girl like her when he also seems to like me. Zoe and I could not be more different in every possible way. I swallow hard and turn to Charlie. You seem to know Zoe pretty well, I say, trying to sound casual but feeling far from it. And from what I could tell back in the living room, she seems to feel like she has some kind of a claim on you. So what's the deal with you two? Charlie puts his hands up like he's trying to deflect the question right back at me.
Whoa, where did that come from?
I shrug. I'm just saying. You're giving me a tour of her house like you live here. She looks at me like she wants to rip my head off because I'm with you. I just want to make sure I'm not getting in the middle of anything. Charlie takes my hands in his and looks me straight in the eyes.
There's nothing to get in the middle of, I promise.
I stare back up at him, hungry for more explanation. There's more than nothing here. It's a definite something. Or at least it was at some point. I raise an eyebrow like an unspoken question.
Fine. We used to hook up once in a while, he finally admits. Back when I was still Mr. Big Shot Swimmer. But it's not something I'm proud of or want to repeat or anything.
I nod. I appreciate his honesty, even though I didn't really want to know that his lips have touched hers. I'm going to have a hard time getting that mental picture out of my head. The thought of those two together makes me shiver.
You cold? He says, noticing. You can wear my sweatshirt if you want.
No, I'm good, I tell him.
And how about us? Are we good now?
He asks. I think about it for a second. Yeah, we're all good. Charlie turns off the light and leads me back out into the long hallway.
You up for a game of beer pong?
I've never played, I admit. But sure, even though I hate beer. And just like that, the tension over Zoe dissipates.
I'll show you how, he says. In fact, I'll even drink the beer you're supposed to if you want.
Sounds great, I tell him. We head back into the den and watch the game already in progress. From what I can tell, beer pong consists of people taking turns, chucking a little white ball into red cups set up in a triangle at either end of a table, and then chugging the beer in them until it's all gone. I'm not at all hopeful I'll be any good at it, but if Charlie's willing to down the drinks, I'm more than happy to give it a go. The players toss the ball and chug. Chug and toss. Eventually, that game ends, and Charlie and I take on the winners. He grabs the ball and mimics the throwing motion for me.
Just be gentle and get a good arc on it, he says. It's a finesse game, not a brute force one. Go ahead, you got this.
He hands me the ball. I shoot. A flash of white curves through the air, then lands in the cup with a decisive little plop. I look up at Charlie in surprise. He high-fives me. The guy on the other side of the table chugs, then takes a shot. It misses.
Go again, Charlie urges me.
Ball two of mine hits, then three, four, five, and so on.
I can't miss. The other team barely sinks any in our cups.
Clearly, they are going to get very buzzed, and Charlie will stay basically sober.
She's a hustler! She's a beast! Where did she come from?
Charlie whoops as I clinch the final toss. I can't stop grinning. After years of being a failure at every sport I tried, I was serious about my dad being a terrible gym teacher. I finally found one I'm good at. Beer pong. Too bad I can't tell Dad a thing about my newfound athletic prowess. I think he'd love the fact that I finally got to play a team sport after all these years, and earned all-star status at it, no less. Morgan, who's been watching my quick ascent into the Hall of Fame from the sidelines, challenges us to the next game.
Just you wait, Morgan trash-talks from the other side of the table. I've got a secret weapon on my team, too. He might not know how to tap a keg, but he definitely knows how to sink a ping-pong ball.
She slaps Garver on the back, trying to pump him up. Garver lobs it and sinks it on his first try. He turns and throws his arm around Morgan, jumping up and down and hugging her. She doesn't exactly return his enthusiasm. She peels his limbs from around her neck, puts some space between them, and gives him a fist bump instead.
In your face! Garver yells across the table at me. Drink, Katie!
I got it, Charlie says as he reaches around and grabs the cup. I'm a man of my word.
I take aim again and land the ball like the seasoned pro I am now. I'm on a total roll. I couldn't miss if I tried. Garver chugs. His luck runs out on his next throw. The ball bounces off the rim of a cup, skitters to the ground, and rolls under the couch. Garver kneels down and goes to retrieve it.
Dude!
Morgan complains to his butt crack, which is basically hanging out of his pants as he feels around under the couch.
You promised me you were good at this game.
I am good, he replies, reappearing and handing the ball to me.
He pulls his pants back up. His butt crack disappears.
Just not as good as Katie.
It's my turn again. I hit their cups over and over. They miss more balls than they sink. I'd feel sorry for our opponents, except that I'm having too much fun. I think I like parties. No, wait, I'm sure of it. Before long, victory is ours, again. Garver shakes Charlie's hand, flashes me a peace sign, takes a final gulp, and wipes the remaining foam from his lips. The beer has apparently given him extra courage, because he turns to Morgan and grins at her.
Do you want to dance?
Morgan scowls and gives him a death glare. Garver, what on earth makes you think I'd ever want to dance with you? I give her a look. She rolls her eyes at me. Be nice, I mouth at her. Fine, she says with a sigh. Let's get it over with already. Garver's face lights back up and he grabs Morgan by the hand. They weave through the crowd and join the mosh pit of kids bopping around the living room. I wonder if Morgan's thinking what I'm thinking right now. We both missed out on a lot of fun not going to parties all these years. While I'm busy watching Morgan barely move and Garver jump around like a total spaz, I suddenly get the feeling people are watching me. I spy Zoe over in the corner, whispering to a few other girls I sort of recognize from grade school. I have a hard time shaking the feeling that they are on to me. But then again, maybe they're just wondering who I am and where I came from. Maybe some of them, like Zoe, feel as if Charlie is their property and don't like that he's with someone from outside their circle. Or maybe I'm just imagining things. It's hard to tell. Is it me or is everyone looking at us? I finally ask him, nodding over at Zoe and her crew as discreetly as I can.
They're not looking at us, he says. They're looking at you.
He's looking at me too now. There goes that intense heat up my cheeks again. This is how I imagined all the middle school dances I never got to go to, I say. And it's probably pretty close. Zoe plotting revenge while I chat with the cutest guy in class, and her doing something heinous when I go to dance with him. Like that scene in Carrie when she got pig blood spilled all over her at the prom.
Well, it's not quite the same, Charlie replies with an easy laugh.
He doesn't seem worried in the least about those girls, so I try not to be either.
At a middle school dance, all the girls would be on one side of the room and all the guys would be on the other, and no one would touch.
I take a slow sip of my pink drink and stare up at Charlie over the top of the cup. Oh, I'm pretty sure you danced with a lot of girls at middle school dances, like Zoe and all her friends over there.
Well, maybe, though I wouldn't exactly call it dancing, he tells me. It was more like the middle school grind.
Ew, I say. I don't even want to think about any of those mindless zombies grinding on Charlie. They don't deserve a great guy like him.
I'm pretty sure I don't want to know what that looked like. Actually, I think it's something you can't possibly miss out on, he says, taking the drink from my hand and putting it down on the nearest table. Let's fill in some of those gaps in your homeschool education.
Charlie leads me out to the dance floor and spins me around. Then he brings me in so close there's almost no space left between us. I forget all about any potential pig blood spilling Zoe might be plotting. I put my hands on Charlie's shoulders. He puts a hand on my lower back and starts swaying his hips side to side like a pendulum. I follow his moves. We burst out laughing.
This is what you were missing, Charlie crows. This is horrifying, I tell him,
even though it isn't, not really. The actual dance might not be that great, but being this close to Charlie Reed definitely is.
This move really worked for me, he protests. You don't like it?
I was hoping for a lot more twirling. I tell him,
hey, I'm actually flirting. It's actually working. Miracles do exist.
Charlie slowly spins me around. I make it a full 360 degrees without falling. It's possible I even look graceful. He pulls me back in and holds me close. My heart is skittering around in my chest. I feel his beat back at mine in response. We're slow dancing in a sea of pogo people, and I don't even care if we look silly for being so old-fashioned. I've never felt so perfectly connected to anyone or anything in my life, except maybe my music. Zoe and her friends cease to exist in my mind. Charlie looks at me. Then down at my lips. Oh my God, he's about to kiss me. He leans in. I inhale, close my eyes. Wait.
And Garver throws his arms around our necks. The moment is lost. I open my eyes back up.
This is the best night of my life!
Garver whoops, pointing at Morgan. He's sweaty and has beer breath and looks positively blissful.
She just kissed me!
I stare over at my BFF. She shakes her head an emphatic no. But she's doing that thing she always does when she lies, twisting a chunk of hair around her finger. So maybe yes?
If you ever say that again, I'll kill you, she bellows.
Garver grins and runs back over to her. Morgan's still glaring at him, and I worry for a second that she's really going to punch him. But then he starts spaz dancing around her again, and she starts cracking up. She watches his antics for a chorus or two, but after a while, it's like she can't help herself anymore. She starts dancing along with him. Garver looks like he's in heaven. I turn back to Charlie. He leans in toward me again. Here comes that kiss. The one I've been waiting for my entire life. Finally. I want to remember every last detail of this moment forever and ever. Except at the last second, I hear Zoe's voice in my ear, instead of feeling Charlie's lips on mine. I think I finally figured out where I know you from, she says, giving me a knowing smirk. You weren't by any chance in Miss Esslinger's class in first grade, were you?
The truth is, yes, we were both in that class.
She must know it's me, Vampire Girl. I refuse to let her make me admit it, though. I'll tell Charlie about my XP when I'm ready, not because Zoe freaking Carmichael is bullying me into it.
I shake my head and don't say anything. I can't. I'm worried my voice will betray how much I'm freaking out on the inside.
Huh, she says, giving me an even closer look. That's funny. Because you look just like this poor little girl in that class we used to call Vampire Girl. She got sick and never came back to school. I forget her name.
Before I can think of a way out of this, Charlie rolls his eyes at Zoe, then turns back to me and laughs.
So that's why you kept eyeing my neck out on the dance floor. And here I thought it was because you were so into me.
What can I say? You're pretty irresistible, especially to us vampires.